I'd like to welcome everyone here and everyone who is with us around the globe, which is amazing to think of, to Sunday with the Skies. We're glad you could be here today or whatever day it might be for you. And we're just turning, this is really actually our first kind of cool day that we've had. We've had a marvelous, really amazing summer and early fall this year. Normally it would be like winter here. By mid-October, it's just winter, and we have been so blessed. We have not even lit a fire yet. Normally, we'd be starting the first week of September lighting fires, and here it is mid-October almost, and it's really cool. It's warm. I mean, it's really great. And we're meeting here in our theater, which also has some heat in it. Well, depending on who you ask, it's either heat or it's almost heat. But we have some heat, which is really great. That's more than we had last year. And by God's grace, not only do we have this our theater here, but we were able to get air conditioning put into it, central air conditioning, which was a huge deal, so that our concerts could be comfortable for our people. And at the same time, they put in something of a heating system as well, which is not functioning perfectly yet, but it's at least there's no ice in here. So that's good, and we're really, really, really thankful for that. And here's what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, maybe this is just a set. Maybe this is just actually painted, the instruments and all this stuff. It's just a flat wall, and we just painted these things for this studio and for the audience that is out there. And maybe we did. Maybe this isn't really a stage. Maybe this is just a canvas that's painted to look like a stage. And so if you want to find out if it's real or just a canvas, you'll have to come up here to check it out for yourself. Just one of those kind of things, you know, to kind of challenge you to come up and see what's really going on here. As I mentioned last week, we have started a new situation where we have some rooms that we have kept available in the Sky Family Lodge for people to come up anytime that they want all through the year. This is not a rent-a-room situation. This is a situation of ministry. If you can come, you just come as our friends. If you want to make a donation, you are welcome to, but that's not part of it. You just can just come up here and spend a weekend or a couple days or a week or 2 weeks or the rest of your life, whatever it is that God's put on you, you know. I've invited people for that before, and some of them are taking me up on that, which is really exciting. come up, pack heavily in case you happen to be one that's going to stay forever, like we did. So, anyway, we're glad that you're here, and please feel free to come up and visit us whenever you can. We're going to turn over to Luke chapter 6 just for starters today, and then we're going to go to the Psalms. So let's thank the Lord and look to Him. Lord God, we really thank you for this day. We really thank you that you have called us out of the world. You have chosen us. You have put your seal on us. You have drawn us out of the world. You have made the world to become distasteful to us, which gives us the ability to walk after you in spite of whatever trials there might be connected with that. Lord, you have made the world to be as a broken cistern with polluted springs in it. And we have tasted of the living water that comes from the throne of God. And nothing else can satisfy our souls. Once we have drunk living water, Lord God, we don't want anything else. No matter how alluring it might look to us from the world's perspective, Lord. We know it is dry, it is polluted, it is filthy, it is not satisfying. And so, Lord, we turn to you with our whole heart to seek you and to drink living water continually, which you said is one of the benefits of following you. We'll be given to drink of the springs of eternal life freely and without cost. So I pray that you bless each one that is connected with us now, right at this time, and ask you to greatly bless them. Lord, we pray that you would speak today, because then we will be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Last week we talked about, okay, I'm going to ask you a little quiz here. What is the one and only prerequisite for being in heaven? You have to be a sinner. There's only sinners allowed in heaven. Isn't that an amazing thought? There's only sinners allowed in heaven. If you're not a sinner, you can't go there. Isn't that amazing? And so we talked about, what does that mean? It means that we understand that we are sinners, that we understand. Hell is full of people who do not comprehend their sinfulness and therefore are filled with a great sense of self-value and self-worth, and have a great and inflated opinion of themselves. And if you asked anybody in hell today, right now, if you, the people in hell date back 6,000 years, and if you went back from the start to the finish of everyone in hell and you interviewed them and you asked them if they're a good person, every single one of them would say they're good. Everyone. And so good people are exclude themselves from heaven, because the prerequisite to get into heaven is you have to acknowledge and understand that you are a sinner. And now the beauty of this is that those who enter into the gates have this precious humility and understanding of who they are. That was Carla that was just in the film there, Coming and Going. She's a friend of ours from Charlottetown. Thank you for Carla's debut here.
She didn't get on.
I know, I'm just teasing. So, if you talk to anyone in heaven, if you talk to anybody in heaven, from the least to the greatest, from the person who just barely managed to get in to one of the apostles, every single one of them would say consistently that they are a sinner. Everyone has come to understand and know who they are, and they have acknowledged their sinfulness. Now, the beauty of this is that all of heaven is now populated with this beautiful humility and brokenness. And so this brings forth two beautiful things. It brings about this amazing gratitude and thankfulness to our God for being our Savior, for rescuing us who were bound to hell. We were bound to hell, and Jesus has rescued us. And so we have this sincere, awesome, overwhelming gratitude for Jesus that he would do that for us. The second thing it does, that it produces, is a wonderful attitude of grace toward each other. And that's what makes heaven heaven, is this amazing grace that each one extends to each other, because we know we're all sinners. We know we're all sinners, and we've all been allowed to be in heaven by the grace of God. And so now we have this wonderful, mild, gentle, forgiving attitude, because it's like, wow. Every one of us was drowning in a sea of sin, and we've all been pulled out. And so we have this grace toward each other. And that really, really is the essence of heaven. It's the opposite of what we see in Massachusetts, which is that if you make the slightest mistake, if you're driving a car, the attitude of vengeance and anger and pride, you will be absolutely crucified if you take a wrong turn or if you're driving too slow or you cut somebody off by mistake. You will be just completely killed for doing that. There's like a graceless society. There's no grace. It's like every time somebody does that to me, it's like, buddy, you better have a pretty good driving record if you can be like that. You must have never made a mistake in your entire driving career to have an attitude like that. And when somebody cuts me off, it's like, thank God, I love this guy. and that's just a small example of the difference between knowing that you're a sinner, like, and thinking that you're good. And so in heaven is just full of this wonderful grace. Now, as we come before God and we seriously and earnestly and sincerely repent of our sins, we come into an amazing miracle of cosmic proportions. And that is, those who were black as soot are transformed into the purest white through that, passing that prerequisite of confessing our sins. Now, those who do this, those who become transparent before God and who admit and confess all the things in their heart that are wrong, they are really exceedingly precious to God. They are so precious to God. And you know why? Because the number is so few. The number is so small of those who actually go through that amazing cleansing process. Because almost everyone has all kinds of hidden sins or glossed over sins. Since we don't even know our sins, which is what we talk about quite a bit. And if you want to know more about that, read the Fellowship of the Unashamed Handbook. It basically expose every hidden sin that there ever was in the heart of humanity. So it's a good book for opening your eyes on who we really are. So get one from your closest at the next concert that you go to. And so most of the Christian body has all kinds of hidden and glossed over sins, so that those who come before him and are actually completely transparent before God and say, Lord, this is who I am. Forgive me and cleanse me. Now, this person is a child of the living God. Completely a child of God. They've been transformed. And they are the apple of God's eye. Now, as we become the apple of God's eye, guess what else we become? We become the target of the devil's wrath. Because the devil loves people to go to church. He loves us to think that we're good because he knows he has us. As long as we're good church-going people, we're able to gloss over everything else that's wrong in our lives. And so, man, the devil doesn't care if we go to church. He's glad if we do. Man, it just makes us feel better about ourselves. And if we do, he's just got us. But if we humble ourselves before God and we become completely transparent before him, before God, suddenly, wow, the wrath of hell is unleashed upon each one who does that because they're just small in number. It's just a small group. Now, as the wrath of hell is unleashed upon us, this is what it looks like. Jesus says, you'll be hated by all on account of my name. You'll be hated by all on account of my name. And this hatred will take the form of people out of the blue having this amazing critical attitude towards you, or speaking evil about you, or talking to somebody that you know and just making all kinds of antagonism towards you. It will take the form of being excluded. You will be excluded. There'll be get-togethers of which you won't be invited. It will take the form of fear. People will actually be afraid of you. People will actually be afraid of you. You will walk into a room or into some gathering, and people will actually be afraid of you. I remember my dear nephew down in Georgia saying that one day after he became a Christian. He says, "Oh, Uncle Tom, it's just so great to be able to hang around with you, not be afraid of you." He was just like petrified to be around me or my family, because we were with God, and now he's with God, and it's just like just so wonderful. But people are just innately afraid of somebody who is walking in Christ, and that's a very awful feeling as well. When you just have love for somebody and they're afraid of you, it's just terrible, you know. So not only will this criticism and this anger and this all these things happen to you, but there will be actually a real and true hatred that is surrounding you. A true hatred. Okay, so the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, he really, really, really hates the one who has just become transparent before God. He really, actually hates you. And so because he is the prince of the power of the air, he's like around us. He's in the atmosphere. The earth is his domain. This is where he dwells. He's locked and confined to this planet, except for going to the throne of God somehow. I don't know how that works, but I wish he didn't. But he's here in force and with all of his legions. And so there's this oppression that's in the air that is very intense for somebody who has just become a true child of God through earnest, heartfelt repentance. This person is now surrounded by this oppressive hatred. And it's a real hatred. It's not necessarily coming from any human, but it feels like it is, and we internalize it, and it gets to be a very, very, very hard trial. It's a hard trial to actually see literally fulfilled Jesus' words that you'll be hated by everybody just because you belong to him. It's because he's hated by everybody. Don't ask me why. But that's all part of this package of following after God, is that you'll have this immense hatred from the devil. And as we go on in this for a period of time, you know, it can become a very weighty matter. It can become a real, real source of difficulty for us to press on. And it can become, it can feel like it's not worth it. It's not worth it, keeping on with Christ. It's just too hard. It's too difficult. And that's where I want to turn us today. I want to turn us to the encouragement of why it is, in fact, well worth enduring the hatred of the power of the prince of the air. Is well worth enduring the criticism of those who will come against us for no reason. It's well worth it if our family turns against us. It's well worth following after Jesus, even if we don't see any of the fruit of it at all until we die. It's still well worth it. Here's what Jesus says after he says that you'll be hated by all. Turning his gaze on his disciples, this is Luke 6, 20. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven." Your reward is great in heaven. So Jesus not only promised that we would be hated by all, he also promised that great would be our reward in heaven. Now, if anybody knows anything about Jesus, he always understates what he says. So that when he says a simple sentence, he means it in a way that is so far beyond what we can comprehend. So as he understates and says, "Great is your reward," he means a reward that is so far beyond our imagination. And we have to hold on to that. As we are being criticized, as we are being hated by all on account of his name, we have to hang on to the second half of this verse, which is, "Leap for joy, for your reward in heaven will be great." Lisa, great. The reward will be great. Now, these things are so important to remember that David devoted an entire psalm to it. Over in Psalm 103, where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits." You see, David was part of that true body of Christ. David was part of it. He sought the Lord with all of his might, and the result was that he was criticized mercilessly. He was opposed violently. His name was spurned as evil. He's the king, and people are still speaking such evil of him. And his heart was continually grieved by the verbal abuse that he took and by the hatred he experienced. And so David, when he wrote these words, was saying, "Remember the benefits of following God. Bless the Lord and forget none of his benefits." And what are the benefits we are to remember? It says, first, he pardons all of our iniquities. Okay? He forgives all of our sins. He heals all of our diseases, meaning our soul diseases and our physical diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He takes us up out of the blackness of the life that we had. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies our years with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. So David is telling us and reminding us not to forget of the benefits of following after the Lord. And so we need to encourage each other all the time, because as we are in the fellowship of the hammered, we need to also be in the fellowship of encouraging people to remember the benefits of following after the Lord, so that as we're being hammered into the dust, you know, that we'll see Lisa leaping for joy and rejoicing because she remembers, "For great is your reward in heaven," who has forgiven all of our sins, who has redeemed our life from the pit, who has crowned us with loving kindness and compassion. And then over in Psalm 112, we have just a few. This is just a couple of the blessings that are attached with being, with persevering in following after Jesus. Psalm 112 says, "Praise the Lord, How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. He will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. Okay, remember how the name of the wicked will be cut off, even the memory of the wicked will be cut off. Well, the name of the righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. Until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries, he has given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed, gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Okay, so God will uphold those who walk after him. And so even though for a season, it looks like those who are following after the Lord are being completely ground into the dust, yet we see the truth of the matter, which is that those who trust in the Lord will be exalted. They will be honored forever. Their righteousness shall endure. And God has taken us. He's not only forgiven our sins, but he has taken the lowest, that's us, and he's given us the highest possible blessing, the highest honor that could possibly ever be in the universe, which is he has called us by his own name and made us his own sons and daughters. He has made us to be his own so that we are one with God. So there is no position higher than that. There's nothing higher than being one with God. And that's what God has called us to, which is an amazing thing. He's taken the sons of dust, raised us up to become the sons of God. And so when you get discouraged, remember these things. Remember these words. Encourage your friends with these words. We need to encourage each other with these words. Great is your reward in heaven. So that when we get discouraged, we'll be like, wait a second. Gabe, this is your assignment. Just continually remind us all, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we ask that you would strengthen us to remember these things. For we cannot walk with you unless we remember your benefits. For it is a difficult road. But the benefits are so exceedingly great that when we get to glory, we're going to think we did not endure anything worth the blessing and the reward that you have stored up for us. We will say, Lord, why have you done this? We didn't endure anything. And yet you will continue to pour on us blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So Lord, help us to understand that if we could know what your blessing was, we would never complain again. Lord, please uphold us as we go out on tour this week. Please cause your revival to go forth every place that we are. Please cause your revival to abide on this hill and to go forth into all of Prince Edward Island. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.